Well, we're turning to the book of Proverbs tonight, and over the next three or four Sunday nights when we're preaching, we simply want to look at some verses from Proverbs. I call them gospel verses because the gospel can so easily be preached from them, but of course they are for God's people as well. It is God's instruction to us, and therefore we simply want to read some verses from verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 20. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom. He will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, and let's seek for his blessing in the final meeting, in the final minutes of our meeting. Our Lord and our gracious Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy word. We rejoice, O Lord, that even reading it we can see the wisdom already. But we pray, Lord, as we focus on one of these verses, that thou wilt just open it afresh to us, write it upon our hearts. We pray, Lord, that saint and sinner alike will be taught. We pray, O Lord, that all will be obedient to thy word and all will be wise concerning the things of God. Lord, minister to us tonight, we pray. Oh, speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy spirit. Give me grace tonight, O Lord, to speak thy word. Lord, give me help, Lord, to lead this congregation in the truth. And we pray, O Father, that signs will follow the preaching of thy word tonight, that God will be glorified, sinners converted, God's people going on with him. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. I wish I'd listened. Have you ever said those words? I wish I'd listened to what I had been told. Perhaps there's been a time in your life that you found out the advice, the instruction you have been given was true. It was accurate. It was wise. But you neglected it. You went your own way and you have suffered the consequences. I'm sure every single person could get up here tonight, one after the other, and say, yes, I wish I'd listened at various points in my life. Our lives are filled with times we fail to listen. This world is filled with people who have failed to listen. The Bible is actually full of people who failed to listen. We have examples of people who were given truth, given instruction, but they failed to listen. They went their own way and they suffered the consequences. Why do people not listen to the Word of God? Why do people not take heed to the Word of God? Well, there are several reasons. Their minds are blinded by the god of this world. The devil has blinded their minds. They cannot see truth. Their minds are also deceived by sin. You see, the Bible tells us there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So deceived by sin are the minds of sinners that they actually believe they're better off unsaved. They believe that things will work out okay if they go against God and reject his word. That's how deceitful our heart is and how deceived our minds are. Not only that, but their minds are ruled by pride and self-elevation. Most people in life don't want to be told what to do. not even by God. I'll do what I want to do. I'll go my way, and woe to the person even tries to tell me what to do. But also their minds are offended at the truth and the light of Scripture. It's not just that they don't want it. It's not just that they maybe even disagree with it. It offends them. Truth offends sinners. God's word offends sinners. And if you are offended at God's word tonight, then you're in a very serious and dangerous position, because you need the Lord to open up your heart and mind to realize that this is truth. And in spite of the fact that the mind is blinded, deceived, ruled by pride, and offended at truth, God tells us to preach the gospel and to preach the word, to continue to share the truth. Now, that seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? Why should we preach to people who won't listen? But remember, every Christian in here tonight is a person who once would not listen. Before they were saved, they rejected the truth. Before they were saved, they walked in their own wisdom. Before they were saved, they believed that they were right and they were okay without God. So therefore, we preach because it's God's appointed way of reaching the lost. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, it's clear that the Lord must open the heart of the sinner if they are going to receive the truth. He must open their ears to hear, their mind to understand and receive the truth. That's God's work. But our work as Christians, and especially as a preacher, is to keep preaching, to keep warning, to keep compelling, to keep instructing, and to keep declaring. Now, I want to show you how this is taught in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, keep your hand there, because we are coming back there in a moment to look at one verse. But turn over a few pages to Ezekiel chapter 2. Toward the end of the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 2. And you will find that God's will is that the truth will be preached. Whether men hear or not, God's word is to be preached. And Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 1, the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit of God entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now, in this particular instance, success wasn't guaranteed, but the work was to go and preach, Thus saith the Lord. Whether they receive you or whether they don't, whether they hear or whether they forbear, God's word is to be preached. The New Testament equivalent of that is found in 2 Timothy, where it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the command is to preach the word of God continually to a people who are rebellious, and it may be that the Lord will open hearts of those whom he has elected, and that he will bring them onto faith in himself. I want you to come to Proverbs chapter 19, because in Proverbs chapter 19, there is a great verse of instruction, I believe, for the unsaved and for God's people. Verse number 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Now, a very simple explanation of the verse is this. Make choices that mean when you get to the end of your life, you'll look back and be glad that you made those choices. Make choices that when you get to the end of your life, that you will look back and be glad that you made those choices. I want to break this up into three parts, very simply as it's broken up in this verse. First of all, let's look at the first clause, hear counsel. Hear counsel. Now, the word hear is an interesting word. It means to hear intelligently. In other words, to listen carefully to what is being said. It's translated in God's word, this Hebrew word is translated as to hear. It is also translated to consider, to understand, and also to obey. So it has the thought of listening with the intention of obeying. Now, in the book of Exodus, we were thinking this morning about Pharaoh, but we're going to think about him again for another moment. Whenever God sent his word through Moses to Pharaoh to let the people go, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" That word obey, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice, is the same word that's translated here in Proverbs 19, verse 20. He could have said, "Who is the Lord that I should hear his voice," or "to hear to obey." And we could translate this verse in Hebrew or in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, obey counsel. Listen wisely to counsel. Whenever Daniel was lamenting over the sins of his people, he said, "Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." We haven't listened with the intention of obeying. We may know what the Lord says, but we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. And that's the same word that's translated here in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 20. So what does the word counsel mean? Well, the word counsel means advice. That's what it literally means. It also, by implication, means plan or purpose. And this book is a book of godly advice, of wise advice. It presents the plan of God for his people, and it shows the purpose of the people of God. Whenever we think about the counsels of God, we could think of Isaiah. As he prophesied, he said, "Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." In other words, the counsels that we are showing you tonight essentially are the words you hold in your hand. They are ancient words. They are old words. But praise God, they are true words. They are faithful words. They cannot fail. Though heaven and earth should pass away, God's word will not pass away. But not only does the Bible give instruction and wisdom and advice, this world gives instruction, wisdom, and advice. And often it's at odds with the word of God. In Psalm 1, verse 1, you remember what the psalmist said? "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And the reality is, tonight you're walking in one of two ways. You're either walking in the counsel of the Lord, in the wisdom of God, and obedience to God, or you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You're walking in a way that seems right to the world, but is essentially at odds with the things of God. You see, the Lord has a plan and purpose for his people. The Lord has a plan for those who will call upon him and those who will be saved, that they can have true life and know fullness of life. There's a world out there. They're seeking peace. They're seeking hope. They're seeking purpose. But the Lord has a purpose for mankind. He has created us to worship him, to have fellowship with him, to have a relationship with him, to live for him in freedom here in this life. And then to go to that place called paradise, that place called heaven in the next. God's word is our only rule of faith and practice. If we obey it, it will lead us to salvation. If we reject it, it will send us to a lost eternity in hell. What is the great plan and purpose of God for his creation? What is his instruction to this world? Well, there are various passages that we could turn to, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Whenever a man asks the Lord a question about what is the greatest commandment, what is the greatest thing that we can do in the eyes of God? And he says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, "Master, which is the greatest," or the great commandment, "in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself." Now, born naturally in sin, we cannot do that. So therefore, we have to first of all repent of our sin and ask the Lord by faith for cleansing from that sin in the precious blood that was shed on Calvary, that we might then be able to love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. That's the greatest achievement that any man or woman, boy or girl can have in this life, that they have been saved from their sin and that they love the Lord. In the Old Testament, the question was asked, or what does the Lord require of thee? And the answer was to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God's desire for his people, God's counsel for his people is to love him, to walk with him. Let's hear further counsel from the word of God. Mark 1:15, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." We could turn to verse after verse after verse of instruction, of counsel, of wisdom for you, of God's plan, of God's purpose for his creation. And my question to you tonight is this: what have you done with the counsel of God? God has richly blessed you. It's not every person in this world has a Bible in their own language, or can read even to read a Bible in their own language. Not every people's group has a translation of the Word of God as yet. Yet you've grown up in a country where the gospel is freely preached. You've grown up maybe in Sunday school, youth fellowship, gospel missions, all your life you could preach the gospel, if truth be told. But what have you done with the counsels of God? If you're not saved tonight, you have done nothing but reject the counsel of God. You're walking in your own way, believing that your way is better than his. This is the wisdom of God. This will lead you to salvation if you obey his word. It's not that you don't know. It's not that you don't have the knowledge of what God's counsels are. It's that you will not obey. Then secondly, it says in Proverbs 19, verse 20, not only to hear counsel or to obey counsel, but receive instruction. Receive instruction. Now the word receive in the original, it means to admit. To admit or to take hold of. It can also mean to choose. Choose instruction. Take hold of it. And again, the idea is there, obey it. What's instruction? Well, the main meaning of the word, it means to chasten, but it also means to warn. To warn. It also can be translated doctrine, and is translated doctrine in other parts of the Word of God. So therefore, it says receive or choose or take hold of God's chastising, of God's warnings. And this book is filled with warnings. God has placed warnings in your life as you walk down life's path. Part of the calling of a preacher is to place the warnings of God before a congregation. In Ezekiel, we read from chapter 2, but in chapter 3, we read these words, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." And there's some people who do not go to certain churches because the warnings that come out of the pulpit against sin, against the wrath of God, against hell, against eternal punishment, they don't like it, it doesn't sit well with them, so they go somewhere else where those things are not mentioned. There are many promises in the Word of God. There are many blessed promises in the Word of God that we can share with a congregation, but there are also warnings that we must declare. We would not be faithful if we stood before you and pretended there's no warnings here. There are warnings. Sinner, if you're here tonight and you're without Christ, there's warnings here for you. What warnings can I highlight tonight? What warnings can I set before you as you go on your way to a lost eternity? As you walk with your back to God? As you go towards hell? Well, let me give you some warnings. First of all, the one who does not believe in Jesus will die in their sin. If you not believe in Jesus, and by that faith act upon what you know and what you believe, you will die in your sin. How do I know that? Because John 8:24, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's only one way you will die, and that's lost. Guilty on your way to the judgment and the wrath of God. You see, there's no other way to heaven. There's no way to escape the sin that mars you and the sin that's on your record and the sin that must be punished in your life. The Bible says, if ye believe not that I am he, that is Christ speaking, ye shall die in your sin. There's a warning. Another warning in Scripture is this: the one who does not repent of his sin will perish. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And sometimes, you know, we look at others and we think, well, there is a wicked person. We hear of a news report of someone who's done something that's atrocious, and we say, well, that's awful, and they deserve judgment, and they deserve to be punished, and the book thrown at them, and rightly so. But the Bible says, except ye repent from your sin, ye shall likewise perish. Just because you're in the clean side of the broad road, just because nobody really could point a finger at you in your day-to-day life, doesn't mean that you have any more favor with God than any other person. If you're not saved and you've never repented of your sin, you shall likewise perish. You may belong to a church, but you're not saved. You're going to perish if you die in your sin. Third warning, the one who does not believe in the gospel of Christ will be condemned. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you will not believe, you're condemned. It's not that you will be condemned, you're condemned right now. You're sitting in a gospel preaching church, condemned to hell, because you will not believe. You will not obey, you will not receive the instruction or the warnings that God gives to you. The one who neglects God's great salvation will not escape. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is a great salvation. That salvation is found in the work of Christ. He was born into this world of a virgin, who lived a perfect, holy, sinless, spotless life, who went to the cross and on the cross of Calvary bore the punishment for the sins of his people, suffered hell upon the cross that we might not go there, suffered separation from his Father that we might never be separated, suffered the shame and the humiliation of bearing sin that we might have peace with God. There is a great salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said that we were to come unto him. He was raised from the dead, proving publicly that the Father accepted the work that was done on the cross as a means of payment for our sin. His blood was shed, that atoning blood, that blood that cleanses from all sin. We sang earlier, shed for Rebels shed for sinners, shed for me. There's a great salvation that is freely offered. And the question is this: how shall we escape if we neglect it? And the answer, of course, is rhetorical: we won't. Friend, if you neglect God's salvation, if you see it as unnecessary and not something that interests you or not something that you're really bothered about, you will not escape the wrath of God. You will not escape condemnation. You will not escape hell. You will not escape, because God has made a way of salvation. There's only one way, and you dare not neglect it. One more warning: the one who lives in sin will be thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. We're talking about solemn things tonight. We're talking about serious things. You know why? Because these are warnings in the Word of God. These are instructions given for your warning tonight. And the Bible says that you would receive them. You would accept them. You would take hold of them and act upon them. Friend, don't just put this to the back of your mind and say, well, that's a heavy sermon tonight, and you know what? We'll just leave it to next week. Hopefully it'll not be as heavy. Hopefully it'll not be as much about the wrath of God or the judgment of God. Maybe I'll go elsewhere. Maybe I'll just try and fill my mind with many, many things so I don't have to think about the Bible, I don't have to think about the gospel, and I don't have to think about the warnings. Friend, you do that at your peril. You see, there are several things that you can do with truth, several things that you can do with instruction, several things that you can do with the warnings. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. Proverbs 1, verse number 7. People can despise the warnings of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's our word, the word warnings, instruction. So you can despise it. But let me ask you, what profit will be to you to despise the Word of God? What profit will be to you to look upon it as unfavorable, as unpleasant, as something that is not worthy of your thought? I tell you, only a fool would do that, because all are going to stand before God. Only a fool would despise God's mercy, God's way of salvation, God's warnings. Only a fool. Turn back a few pages more to Psalm 50. And the psalmist writes in Psalm 50 about something else. Verse 17, Psalm 50, verse 17. Yes, people can despise the instruction of God. But look what it says in Psalm 50, verse 17. Seeing that thou hatest instruction and casteth my words behind thee. Here's what some people do. They hate it so much, they throw it behind, they ignore it. They ignore it. They have known what God's word says, but they throw it behind their back and they march on in their own way. Marching on to hell, marching on in sin, marching on in rebellion against God, simply because they hate the truth. But whenever we come to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, we find that we can receive instruction. And maybe up until this point in your life, you've despised it. Maybe up until this point in your life, you've ignored it. But I beg you tonight, receive God's truth. Receive and act upon His instruction. You know what the Lord said through the words of Jeremiah 35:13, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my word, saith the Lord? And I challenge you tonight with the very words of the Lord, will you not receive instruction to hearken to His words? Will you not listen to the Lord tonight? Will you not obey the Lord tonight? Because the warning someday will cease. The opportunity someday will be over, and you'll have to stand before the Lord. There is a church in Krakow in Poland. And for the last 700 years, a bugle has been sounded every day. And I checked up on this recently. It's been sounded every day, 24 times a day, on the hour. And as that bugle sound goes out, the last note is muted and broken to remind the people that over 700 years ago, during a siege when the army was coming to attack the city, the bugler went up to the tower and sounded out a warning, warning the people to leave, warning the people to get out as quickly as possible, for danger was coming, the army was coming. And as he was playing the sound through the bugle, the arrows were flying, and as he was blowing, an arrow hit him in the throat, and the sound was muted and muffled. And still today, if you go there to Krakow in Poland, you'll hear that playing on the hour, and the last note just comes to an end abruptly. The last note just doesn't sound right, and all of a sudden there's silence. It reminds the people of that city of the sacrifice that the man made, giving the warning to others. But the warning came to an end. And you have the privilege of hearing the warnings of God and the word of God and the offer of the grace of God and free salvation, full salvation. But you remember this, the sound of the warning will cease. And the opportunity will be over for you to repent and believe the gospel. My final thought is this. Look at the verse again. Hear counsel. Receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Now the words latter end are interesting. It means at the last or at the end, but as the idea actually of the future. And you know, that's true because whenever we make decisions today, they will affect our future. The decisions that you make now will affect your future. As parents, the decisions you make will affect your children. As individuals, the decisions that you make will affect your future walk with the Lord. It also has the idea of reward. The latter end, coming to the end and receiving the reward. Now, for the child of God, that's a wonderful thing. Oh, we'll get home at the end of the way, and we'll receive the rewards that the Lord will bestow upon us for service. But what about the sinner when they get to the end of the way? And you receive the rewards of your deeds justly from the hand of the Lord. You see, there is a latter end for us. There's an end of this life as we go into eternity. And you will die in one of two ways, either as a wise person or a foolish person, either as a saved person or a lost person, either as one who's obedient to God or one who is disobedient to God. And remember this, the bad effects of the foolish rejection of wisdom may not be seen for many years, but they will come. Oh, preacher, that's nonsense, because I have been living without God all my life. I have had no interest in the gospel, and I have money in the bank. I have health in my body. I am getting on with my friends. I am enjoying my life, doing what I want, when I want, with whomsoever I want. My bad decisions haven't cost me. No, not yet. Not yet. But the bad effects of a foolish rejection of wisdom, while not seen maybe for many years, will come before you. And as a soul goes into hell and hears the horrors of the damned, feels the pain, then the reality of the foolish decisions you have made will come upon you. You'll know every word of amazing grace, but never be able to experience it. You'll remember the words to "there's power in the blood," and never be able to claim it. Lost in hell as a fool. You see, the great end of the wise person is not just to accumulate as much knowledge as he can, to be as wise as he can, but rather that they will be numbered among the wise and accepted with the wise. That's whom the Lord receives unto himself. You see, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The five wise virgins prepared for the coming of the bridegroom, and the wise person hears counsel and receives instruction. Now, you're going to walk out of this church tonight either as a wise man or a wise woman, a wise boy or a wise girl, because you've listened, you've heard, you've obeyed what the Lord has warned and taught of us in the Word. And you've asked the Lord to save you, and you are going out in Christ. Praise God. That's wisdom. Or you're going to go out rejecting wisdom. You're going to go out on your way to a lost eternity. You're going to go out making a decision that, if not repented of before you die, will damn your soul. I'm reminded of that verse in Scripture. It says, great men are not always wise. Great men are not always wise. All those people have made it in this life, humanly speaking, but they've forsaken the Lord. They've never trusted him. They're trusting in their own provision. They're trusting in their money, their health, their popularity, all of those things. Great men are not always wise. The only true wisdom is found here. This is true wisdom. This is God's wisdom. And therefore, I urge you and I beg you tonight, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, warning you, calling you, showing you how to be saved, then don't neglect it. Don't despise it. Don't ignore it. But tonight, come to the Savior whose arms are open to receive you. I know the joy of sins forgiven. Hear counsel. Receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Amen.